Welcome to Mondays with Miles. Today, Dr. Brand and I will discuss the recently released report from the Presidential Task Force. Dr. Brand, why was it necessary to bring presidents and chancellors together to discuss college sports?
Well, I think college sports is just doing terrific. We're seeing more and more people in the stands. It's more exciting every day. But that doesn't mean it's the best it could possibly be. And there are some issues related to college sports that need attention of the presidents. For example, the ability to balance the budgets, which is very difficult, to be able to, while increasing on a reasonable rate budget expenditures, not to overdo it so it doesn't make it more difficult for the campus to meet its other obligations. We want to talk about student-athlete well-being, for example. Should we look for some alternatives to the way we fund grants and aid? Should they be for a longer period of time? Should they extend for 5 years? I don't know what the answers are, and the task force didn't decide the answers, but I think they did identify what are the critical questions for student-athlete well-being. So there are a bunch of issues that I think the presidents needed to address, given, and this is really important, Josh, given that we've got getting a good handle on academic reform. So it's the next steps after academic reform.
If I'm an average fan, though, I might not walk into a football stadium or a basketball arena and recognize that there are some issues with college sports. Why is it important for fans to be aware that the NCAA is looking into academic reform, does have a presidential task force looking at some of these issues?
You're right. If you're an average fan watching on TV or going into the stadium, you don't care what's going on in the internal workings of college sports as much as you care about, is the game enjoyable, is it competitive, and is my team winning? But, you know, these things don't happen by themselves, and universities have to be able to pay attention to the environment in which students play the games and the environment in which they're supported, and how do you provide enough financial support so it's successful, not only on the high-profile football and basketball, but how do we make sure that we have enough resources in the athletic department so that the other 24 sports on campus can also compete? And so they'll have travel programs so they can go to away games. How do we make sure there's enough resources there, both in terms of good coaching and travel and everything else you need to have a good athletic program across the board? So that's what presidents and athletic directors worry about, because they all love to watch the games as their fans too.
Right.
But they're the ones responsible for what goes on inside the black box.
Now, the environment you spoke of and the financial model, if you will, for the different schools, we had a bunch of presidents and chancellors. I mean, their financial model and the environment on their respective campuses isn't the same for each president and chancellor on the task force.
It's not the same, but there are relative similarities that are important. In fact, the main point here is that you've got to think of athletics budgets in the same way you think of budgets for the rest of the university. You've got to think of athletics as embedded in not just the values, the educational values, but the operational approaches. You shouldn't be thinking of athletics as a standalone enterprise that is in the entertainment business. That's not true. It's part of the mission of the institution, both in terms of education of the people who play in the games, but importantly in the way you finance it and how you run it through your university. And so what the task force was looking for is how do we operationally make sure that these games were playing a sound so that people can continue to watch the games, particularly the highly visible ones, but most importantly so we can provide genuine participation opportunities for as many students as possible, young women and men, to enjoy themselves, even if there isn't a big crowd watching a volleyball game or a softball
Absolutely.
Game.
I think to me, the fact that presidents are involved here is interesting. I mean, we know that athletics are integral within the mission of higher education, but you think presidents, I mean, you're a president, busy folks. There are a lot of different things going on campuses. How are they balancing, you know, their involvement with these athletics issues and then the other things that go on campuses?
You know, I would say if you had a look at the hallmark of reform and change in intercollegiate athletics in the last decade, motivated in part by a Knight Commission report a number of years ago, is the engagement of presidents. They're not going to be able to do day-to-day operational. They're not the managers of intercollegiate athletics. Those are what athletic directors do, and they do it very well, and it's hard work. But oversight for policy and major direction changes, how it all fits together, not just athletics, but the rest of the university, that is part of the president's or chancellor's responsibility. How much time does it take up? Probably not a lot, but maybe a bit more than some of the other units on campus they deal with, because they have a lot of units, wide menu of things, both inside and outside the university they have to worry about. But they can't ignore athletics or think that it can run by itself. They need to be engaged.
A couple of questions that stood out to me in looking through the task force report. Why can't the NCAA, why can't we inside the building prescribe financial solutions for the member institutions?
The simple answer is it's illegal.
Really?
Yes, it's antitrust. We can't prescribe how much people are paid, who's employed, and how institutions will use their money in regard to particularly about personnel issues. That's antitrust. And so we are not permitted to do that. That makes it different from academic reform, in which we can, from the national office, have uniform standards. We think of them as minimal standards, and institutions
right.
expect to do better, but we can do that nationally. What we can't do nationally are things that affect expenditures, budgets, salaries, those kinds of issues. And for that, we need each institution armed with good data to be able to make the basic decisions.
Okay, and drawing off your answer, another one of the recommendations in the report was to strengthen admissions procedures on the campuses. What happened there, and what was some of that discussion like? Is this a realistic thing, to strengthen admissions procedures?
I think it's just the question that we want to make sure that all the student athletes who are playing come through normal admissions processes, and each institution is doing that. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, about prep schools.
Yes.
And that's related to admission procedures. Let's just make sure that the students we admit, whether in athletics or otherwise, to our campuses are capable of doing college work and have good prospects of graduating before we let them in the front door.
And what are some of the next steps for this presidential body, this task force? Are we going to see some more discussions, or are they done initially? What's going on?
Very good question. This is a report that has to be implemented. We can't assume that just issuing the report means that everything it talks about and all the recommendations it makes are going to happen. So I think over the next couple of years, 2 or 3 years, we're going to find specific implementation strategies that the presidents will engage in through the NCAA. But more importantly is that the spirit of the report, the cultural changes it's trying to create in intercollegiate athletics, come to fruition. That's what's important, and that's going to take hard work and concerted effort on the campus by each president. It isn't all regulatory. It's attitudinal.
Well, this is really important stuff, so I would tell our listeners to realize that we're going to be talking about it again, pick out some of these things, and maybe have specific conversations about them. We thank you for listening to Mondays with Miles, and hope you'll join us next week.